misbehaving. They're just behaving.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Ain't Misbehaving. This time, I'm going to tell you how to train a chicken. I'm Dr. Louisa, and I'm here to talk about your pets, some problems you may have, and this week's bonus question. I'm a veterinarian with a special interest in behavior and have been helping people with their pets for over 30 years. My hope is to help you with your own interspecies relationships. Remember Babu, also known as No-No Bad Dog? More about Babu in a minute. First, let's talk about the last episode's bonus question. Remember what that was? In the state of Washington, is it legal for a man to marry his widow's sister? Although the Washington state marriage laws are quite inclusive, the answer is no. A signature is required on the license application, and dead men can't sign their name. The widow's sister will have to wait for a live person. Stay tuned for this episode's bonus question. Okay, let's get back to Babu. He is the pit mix who has been a problem for his family. The initial complaints were barking, biting the children, and stealing stuff. So far, he has taught the 8-year-old boy to give him a treat when he sat, and he has learned that it is a wonderful thing to give something up to family members. Now, before we address the barking at other dogs, I want to take Babu to the next level. I want to teach him about the clicker. The clicker will help him learn faster and will be a fun project for the 8-year-old boy. But more importantly, it will help him learn that other dogs are not a threat. I love the clicker. I'm a convert to the clicker. And as you might know, converts are much more zealous than those who grew up with that experience. But first, I want to talk about Pavlov. Ivan Pavlov was the discoverer of the ring the bell and salivate phenomenon. He was not a behaviorist. Rather, he was a physiologist. He studied the workings of the gastric system and won the Nobel Prize for Physiology in 1904 for his studies of digestive glands in dogs. Pavlov measured salivation rates and found that salivation increased when food was present. Well, no big surprise there. But in his laboratory, the food was prepared in a different room from where the dogs were kept. The kitchen workers rang a bell to let the kennel help know when the food was ready. And Pavlov found that the dogs would salivate at the sound of the bell before the food was present. Now, this was interesting. Why would the dog salivate if there wasn't any food present? Salivation is not under conscious control. We don't think, well, dinner's in half an hour, I'd better start salivating. No, we salivate at the sight and smell of food. This is an unconditioned reflex. It happens in our brain, and we can't help it. What Pavlov discovered was the conditioned reflex. The dogs are conditioned to the sound of the bell. Now, if we don't control salivation consciously, where does this happen in our brain? Well, it happens in a very, very primitive portion of our brain. This is the seat of emotions. This is where fear, rage, joy, and other emotions are processed, sending information to the body and to the cortex. The cortex is the thinking portion of the mammalian brain. And sounds are really pretty neutral. We need to learn what sounds mean. And sounds can mean very different things to different people. For example, you hear a car door slam. In one case, it could mean, "Daddy's home. I wonder what he brought me." And in another case, it could mean, "Daddy's home. I'm in trouble." So not only does that sound mean something different, it can elicit different emotions. Fear in one case, happiness in the other. Now think about what sounds elicit emotion in you. Does the crack of thunder frighten you or excite you? It may depend on the circumstances. What about the growl of a big cat? It may be wonderful with a cat behind bars, but our ancestors were programmed for that sound to signal fear and the fight or flight response. That fight or flight response is generated by adrenaline. You can feel it rush through your system when you are faced with something threatening. It is instantaneous. You don't have to think about it. If a tiger leaps out of the woods, you don't stop and think, "Oh, this might be bad. I'd better get my act together and leave." If you need to think that through, you would be cat meat and not pass on your genetic information. Adrenaline is a neurotransmitter. All that means is that it is a chemical that carries information from one neuron to another. Mind you, that distance is not very far. It is microscopic. In fact, it is nanoscopic. So the message is very fast. Fast enough so that when something crashes on the floor behind you, you jump 5 feet in the air before you can even process that it was just someone dropping a dish. There are other, more friendly neurotransmitters. I saw a t-shirt that said, "Serotonin and dopamine, technically the only two things you enjoy." In a nutshell, dopamine is what gives us desires. Serotonin is what gives us satisfaction. And if you have ever been satisfied, you know that warm, fuzzy feeling, like after a good meal, or telling a joke and having someone laugh, going bird watching and hearing a meadowlark. All of these good feelings are the result of serotonin in the system. And, like epinephrine, the effect is very fast. And this is what the clicker does. Once the animal is conditioned to the sound, it affects the emotional brain and releases serotonin. So, why am I a convert to the clicker? Why am I so zealous about using it? Well, it all started with chickens. Yes, chickens. I signed up for Chicken Camp to learn how to use the clicker on chickens. I went to learn the skills of operant conditioning. Now, there are two parts to clicker training. One is the classical conditioning portion. This is the part that we associate with Pavlov. Ring the bell, or click, and the dog salivates. The other portion is operant conditioning. This is where the animals learn to operate on the environment to get what they want. And it can be any animal. Karen Pryor, who brought operant conditioning to dogs from the marine mammal world, trained a fish in a tank, an Oscar, to target the end of a stick by using a conditioned reinforcer. Other trainers have trained fish to play soccer and basketball. Fish agility course, anyone? Classical conditioning is conditioning an emotional response to a stimulus. This doesn't have to be just sound. Pavlov used a wide variety of stimuli, including whistles, metronomes, tuning forks, and a range of visual stimuli, in addition to the ring of a bell. Karen Pryor used a light flash on the fish. But clickers work okay, since they are easy to carry around and the sound travels well. Clickers are what we used on the chickens. Operant conditioning is a way to teach a specific behavior. It is called operant because the animal is learning to operate the environment. It relies on good observation by the trainer and clicking at the point where you want the behavior to be reinforced. It is simple, but it is not easy. One exercise we did before we even touched a chicken was to watch a ball being thrown into the air. Our task was to click when the ball reached the highest point before falling back down. At first, there were a bunch of clicking sounds as we all saw different high points or couldn't get our fingers to work quickly enough. As our motor skills and observational abilities improved, you could hear just one loud click. Chicken Camp was a 5-day course, lectures in the morning, chickens in the afternoon. 5 afternoons to train a chicken. This included conditioning the chicken to the click as a reinforcement. One other thing you need to know about learning are the definitions of reward and punishment. We think of a reward as something nice and punishment as something not nice. Not necessarily so. What is nice for one may not be nice for another. Remember the car door slamming? That could be nice or not so nice. So the definition of a reward is anything that increases the behavior it follows. The definition of a punishment is anything that decreases the behavior it follows. Whether something is a reward depends on how the animal responds. If there is no increase in the behavior, it is not a reward. Petting may not be a reinforcement. Look at pictures of dogs being petted. Often their ears are pulled back, which is a sign of uncertainty. We can't say for sure whether they like being touched. Food is an unambiguous reward. If the animal eats it, it is a reward. If the animal doesn't eat it, it isn't a reward. That is why we use food in clicker training. And clicker training uses only the rewards. There are no corrections and no punishment. If the animal doesn't do what we expected, it is the trainer's fault. And besides, how are you going to correct a chicken? Grab it and make it go where you want? Whap it on the beak? Corrections and punishment do not work with chickens. Well, it don't work well with cats either. Or dogs. At chicken camp, we had a chicken assigned to us. My chicken was a black speckled beauty. I named her Bedelia. It means strength, and I figured she would need to be pretty strong to work with me. And boy, did she have a strong beak. It took me 2 days to figure out how to get her the reward of the chicken scratch, that's the corn and grain mix, without her pecking the cup so hard that the grain went flying. It's hard to condition the chicken when the pattern of click and treat ends up being click, treat, clean up the table, click, treat, clean up the table. People taught their chickens to do various things, like turn in a circle or peck a particular object. So, how do you train a chicken? Remember the definition of a reward. A reward is anything that increases the behavior it follows. Once the chicken was conditioned to the click, then that became the reward, always followed by the treat, of course. So when the chicken would peck at something, the click and treat would reinforce that behavior. Then, by definition, the behavior would be repeated. The more repetitions, the more firmly the behavior is established. Some people taught their chickens targeting and object discrimination. They reinforced the chicken for pecking at a triangle, then added a circle, which the chicken ignored, in favor of the triangle. Then they added a square, which the chicken also ignored. And when the shapes were mixed up, the chicken would seek out the triangle to peck. Others taught their chicken to turn in a circle. By careful observation and clicking when the head would turn or the weight shift to the side, they shaped the chicken to turn farther and farther in that direction until it turned in a full circle. Even with the slow start I had with Bedelia, I taught her to dance. She would scratch with her feet and then turn in a circle. All I needed to do was add the music. I had a blast at chicken camp. But that isn't what made me a convert to the clicker. After chicken camp, I brought the clicker home to my dog. I was competing in canine musical freestyle at the time. You may have heard of it as dancing with your dog. This is basically obedience and tricks set to music. The basic idea is to have your dog heel in time with the music. Then add cues like sit, wait, come, and other standard cues. The fun comes with teaching tricks. Giving a high five, weaving through your legs, heeling backwards are all moves that make it a fun sport. There are tons of videos online to check out. Just search for canine musical freestyle. There are some amazing routines. Now, Paxel, that was my dog, Paxel. I called her Paxel since she was my antidepressant. She was so cute as a puppy, and I realized I hadn't stopped smiling for 2 days. Well, Paxel was extremely food motivated. How food motivated? Well, I came home one day to find that she had opened a dozen cat food cans and cleaned them out. A very determined sort of motivated. So once she made the association with the click and the food, she was right with me. When I got the clicker out, it's as if she were thinking, what can I do to make you click? She would raise a foot, bow, stretch, spin, and turn, which are two different behaviors, and she knew the difference. And she would make up tricks. There was one that I loved. She would back away from me, turn 180 degrees, then back through my legs. She did this once when I had the clicker, and I captured that behavior. She repeated it twice and never forgot it. We both had a blast. But that isn't what made me a convert. What happened is one day I was in the grocery store. Now, shopping isn't my favorite thing to do. Too many decisions. Even with a list, I usually forget something or get the wrong thing. It's just not fun. And if you must know, all my children have fur. There's no human ones for me. I have infinite patience for dogs and cats, but part of me feels that children should know better. So little kids in stores are highly annoying to me. They don't even have to be throwing a fit. Just them kicking the cart or talking in that squeaky little voice can be enough to drive me out of the store. I've been known to just put down whatever it is I was going to get and leave. So here I was staring at something in the aisle when a man came by with a little boy. A small boy, but old enough to walk and old enough to hold a clicker. He was playing with it, and it sounded like this. You would think that it would be so irritating that I would have to leave. Instead, I felt this wash of warmth go through my body, and I felt good. I could feel the serotonin flooding my system, and I realized that I was as conditioned to that sound as my dog. And if this sound could make me feel good in a situation where I would usually be anxious, I saw what a powerful tool it could be for not only training behaviors, but for changing emotions. This is brainwashing. There is a stimulus and an automatic response. Just like salivation, it is not under our conscious control. This happens a lot in our lives. Advertisers know this. Think about it next time a commercial makes you smile. So, how do we use this with Babu? As I mentioned before, there are two aspects to the clicker. One is the classical conditioning, which works on the emotions, and the other is the operant conditioning, where the animal operates on the environment to make things happen. But first, we need to charge the clicker, which is pairing the sound with the food. This makes the dog perk up at the sound. These are my first rules for the classical conditioning portion of clicker training. 1. For every click, there must be a treat. You are forming a positive association. 2. Keep the food out of sight until you have clicked. If the food is present at the time of the click, the animal will focus on the food and not the click. 3. Use very small treats that can be eaten quickly. Any time they take to chew takes away from the training time. When starting in a distracting environment, you need to increase the value of the treats. Roasted chicken will work better than kibble. 4. Begin by just clicking and treating as fast as you can. The pattern should be click, pause, treat, so that the food does not interfere with the click. Sessions should only last for a minute or so, several times a day. 5. Do not say anything while waiting for him to do something. Clicker is not a command-based training method. Talking will only distract him. And so once Babu perks up at the click, we'll start with operant conditioning. This is where we will teach the word sit. Remember, we can't teach a dog to sit. They already know how to sit. But we can teach them to sit when we ask and make them think that it is their idea. We can add a cue word. Babu knows that if he sits, then the boy will give him a treat. So now, just like with the Zen training, we wait. We don't tell him to sit. The word means nothing to him. It is different from traditional training. In traditional training, you tell the dog to sit, then mold him into that position. But does the dog really understand? If you touch a dog's back end, they will generally turn around to see what you're doing. And there's no clear connection with what you have said and what you are doing. In clicker training, we wait for the behavior, then reward that. It may seem backwards, but it is really a much faster way to train. The dog makes the connection between the cue and the behavior much more quickly. They are doing a behavior, and we are rewarding that. And behavior that is rewarded tends to be repeated. In traditional training, it is a cycle of cue and correct, and most often, the dog becomes very confused. Dog breeds like German Shepherds and Golden Retrievers have often been high on the list of most trainable dogs. That isn't so much because they're smarter, but they are more forgiving. We can also set up the situation to increase the probability that Babu will sit. There are several ways we can get a dog to do a behavior. None of them involve touching the dog. I will go into that in a future episode. But right now, Babu already tends to sit when we are standing quietly. So we wait. If Babu sits, we click and toss the treat. And behavior that is rewarded tends to be repeated. So Babu comes back and sits again. Now comes the tricky part. If you are willing to bet $100 that Babu will sit, then say the cue word. If he sits, you click and treat. If he doesn't, you have lost the bet and have to go back to just waiting for him to sit in order to reward that behavior. So when you start winning those bets, you can repeat the cue to sit. Soon, Babu figures out that the word sit predicts the clicker game. For Babu, the pattern is, oh, you say this word, I sit, then you click and give me a treat. Once he is sitting regularly, when you ask, you can stop clicking, but continue the food reward. Then for advanced training, you can put him on a variable reinforcement schedule. This works to reinforce the behavior, much like in Las Vegas, where sporadic payoff keeps the gambler pulling the handle. More on this when we get to a later episode. We will also get to more classical conditioning when we condition an emotional response with Babu's other issues. In our next episode, we will have some fun with Babu's barking. So before I sign off, here's the new bonus question. We all know what a dysfunctional mess things can be in Washington, D.C. Did you know that in Washington, D.C., you cannot take a picture of a man with a prosthetic leg? This is true. So why is that? If you think you know the answer, send an email to info@radiotacoma.org with bonus question in the subject line. Winners will be chosen at random from the correct answers. You can also send your questions to info@radiotacoma.org. Please put "Ain't Misbehaving" in the subject line. You can give as much information in the email as you wish. If your question is chosen, I will answer it in detail on the program. So join us again for more sagas from the world of pet behavior problems. This is Dr. Louisa reminding you, they ain't misbehaving, they're just behaving.
I don't stay out late, don't care to go. I'm home about eight, just me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.
Thank you, Steve and Christie.